Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 15. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us.
Hey everyone, let's pray as we come to look together at God's word. Father, please will you help us this morning as we look at these events that have been recorded for us, for our instruction, for our encouragement. Father, please will you speak to us, we pray. Please help us to hear and to understand and to be built up. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how you feel when you hear the word mission. I wonder how you feel when you heard it was a mission Sunday this morning. Maybe you were excited, or intrigued, or bored. Maybe you feel overwhelmed. Because actually, when we come to think about mission, the need is enormous. The need is great. The number of Christians in the world at the moment, roughly a third of the world's population, is roughly equal to the number of people who have never heard of Jesus. There are many, many whole people groups who know nothing of Jesus Christ. It's estimated that 87% of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists in the world don't even know a Christian. And there's enormous need in our own country as well, isn't there? The need is great, and the work is hard. People are very entrenched in their views. How can I possibly persuade someone else to become a Christian, to believe in Jesus? It can feel overwhelming. Richard, Tony, and I, three ministers of the church, we went to a conference earlier this week, which was on mission. And we were reminded of the challenges, but we were also reminded of the encouragements. Yes, there are challenges, but the church is growing across the world. The church is four times bigger today than it was 100 years ago. We were reminded of one particular country, Mongolia, where in 1990, 35 years ago, there was thought to be less than 10 Christians. You could kind of count the number of Christians on your fingers. Whereas today, 35 years later, there's thought to be more than 75,000 Christians in that country. Praise the Lord. The church is growing. God is at work in his world. Well, this morning we're returning to our series on the book of Acts. And we're thinking, returning back to this series that we started, I think, 4 years ago it was, and we've been doing it in sections. And one of the big themes of the book of Acts, one of the things that we're being told over and over again, is that mission is God's work. Mission is what God is doing. At the end of Matthew's gospel, he gives to his disciples the great commission to go into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. And Acts 1, verse 8 tells us the kind of the program, the outline for this. Jesus says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's what we see happening in the book of Acts. We see that those disciples gathered in Jerusalem and preaching the gospel and ministering Jerusalem. And then the gospel spreads to Judea and Samaria. Interestingly, it's not because they decided to spread it, it's because persecution comes and the gospel spreads. And then from Judea and Samaria, it begins to spread to the ends of the world, the ends of the world. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are sent by the Holy Spirit, set aside and sent out to take the gospel to non-Jewish people, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they make a start by taking the gospel to an area of eastern Turkey and planting churches there. And then they return. That's often called Paul's first missionary journey. And then they begin to think about going again, going back to visit these churches that they've already planted in eastern Turkey. But unfortunately, they have a disagreement. They have a falling out over whether they should take one of the people that went before, John Mark, with them. And so in the end, Barnabas ends up going to Cyprus, and Paul goes with Silas to visit these churches in eastern Turkey on this second missionary journey. They pick up someone called Timothy along the way. But what should they do now? They've visited those churches that have already been planted. They've encouraged them. They've built them up. They've achieved that. What should they do now? Well, this passage that we've had read gives us two big encouragements as we see what happens next. The first encouragement is that God opens doors. God opens doors. Paul and Silas are coming from the east. They've already been to the east, so they're heading westward. The natural thing, the logical thing for them is to try now to preach the gospel in the next bit of Turkey. They've done one area, the logical thing is to move on to the next area. And for them, that would be Asia. They're heading in a westward journey. They want to go to the south, to Asia, or the region that was then called Asia. But they are forbidden, according to verse 6, they are forbidden to speak the word in Asia. Now, we're not told how they were forbidden. What did that look like? How did that actually work? We're not told. What's key is who it was that forbade them. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that somehow prevented them from preaching the gospel in Asia. Which raises some questions, doesn't it? Why on earth would the Holy Spirit not want the gospel to be preached in Asia? What will happen to the people in Asia? Surely they need to hear the good news. Has God forgotten about them? Does he not care about them? But the Holy Spirit forbade them from preaching the gospel in Asia. So they can't. They're heading westwards. They come from the east. They can't go south, so they decide to go north. They decide they want to go into Bithynia. But again, verse 7, they are not allowed. They're not allowed to go into Bithynia. And again, we're not told what this looked like. How was it that they were not allowed? We're told who it was who would not allow them. It was the Spirit of Jesus that did not allow them to go into Bithynia. And again, that raises questions. Why would the Spirit of Jesus not want Paul to go into Bithynia and to preach the gospel? What about those people in Bithynia who need to hear the good news? Has God forgotten them? Does he not care about them? What is going on? So where do they go? They're heading westwards. They can't go south. They can't go north. Well, they keep on going west. But the problem is, if you keep on going west in Turkey, eventually you run out of land. You come to Land's End, effectively, which is Troas, which is where they end up. And they stop. And it's at that point, verse 9, that Paul has this vision. A vision of a Macedonian man. Macedonia was the area across the sea, northern Greece, across the sea from Turkey. And they have this vision of this Macedonian man, and he's pleading for help. Now, what help can Paul give to the people of Macedonia? Well, he can go and he can preach the gospel. And so they conclude that God has called them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. This must have been a very confusing time for Paul and for his colleagues, Silas, Timothy, the others that were with him. That just the obvious thing to do, having established these churches in East Turkey, was to move on to the next area. And he had his plans, and yet at every turn, his plans are being thwarted. He's not, he's forbidden from going to Asia. He's not allowed to go to Bithynia. Because God wants them to go through Turkey and to go to Europe. One commentator has said, Jesus' witnesses too must patiently endure the frustration of their own plans in order to discover the opportunity that God holds open. God's plans are not our plans. But what opportunities is God holding open to Paul at this time? There's an obvious one, but there may be a more hidden one as well. Let's think about the hidden one first. You may have noticed, as Jess was reading, that there's a change of pronouns in the passage. Verse 6 says they went through the region of Phrygia. Verse 7, when they had come up to Mysia. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. But when you come to verse 10, Paul has this vision, and it says, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The author of Acts, Luke, has gone from speaking about something that was happening to someone else, Paul and those who were with him, to something that is happening to him, to us, we. Now, what's the explanation for that? Well, the obvious explanation is that Luke, the author of Acts, actually joined Paul and his band in Troas. Which is just interesting, isn't it? Because that wouldn't have happened if Paul hadn't been in Troas. It wouldn't have happened if Paul had ended up in Asia or Bithynia. Now, we don't know very much about Luke. He doesn't really draw attention to himself very much in the book of Acts. It's just the occasional reference to we when he seems to come into the story. But could this have been the first time he met Paul? It raises the question, if Paul had been allowed to preach the gospel in Asia, would Paul have met Luke at all? If the Spirit of Jesus had not prevented Paul from going into Bithynia, would the book of Acts ever have been written? Paul has his vision. He's thinking about spreading the gospel. He's not thinking about writing the book of Acts so that the New Testament can be available for Christians for the next 2,000 years. But God has his plans. God sees the bigger picture. That's the hidden opportunity and a little bit speculative. The more obvious thing is that God intends the gospel to go to Europe. God is wanting at this point that Paul will go through Turkey so that the gospel can come to Europe, to a different continent. And that's a moment in history that is of great significance to the majority of us here, that the gospel comes to this continent. And it happens not because Paul schemed or someone had a great idea, but because God was directing by his Spirit. God was closing doors, but God was opening this door, this opportunity for the gospel to come to Europe. But what about those people that were passed by in the process? What about those people in the province of Asia and the people in Bithynia? Well, it's interesting that God had not forgotten about them. As Paul continues on this journey, he goes to Europe, he passes through Europe, he comes back to Ephesus, which is in Asia, and has a ministry in Ephesus. And then on his next journey, he spends more time in Asia. And by the time we get to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, who is the book of Revelation written to? It's written to the seven churches in Asia, the seven main churches there. God has not ignoring these people. He's not even saying that Paul won't preach the gospel to them. He's just saying, not now. I've got a different plan for you at this moment. What about those people in Bithynia? Well, there's one other place in the Bible that mentions Bithynia, and that's Peter's letter, his first letter, where he writes to Christians who've been scattered to various places, and one of the places he mentions is Bithynia. The gospel spread there too. God did not forget about them. In fact, 60 years after these events in Acts 16, a man called Pliny became governor of Bithynia. He was known as Pliny the Younger because he had an uncle who was also famous, known as Pliny the Elder. And he wrote lots of letters, and those letters were published, and they're still published today. And one of the things he complained about in his letter as governor of Bithynia was all the troublesome Christians that he was having to deal with in that region. God had not forgotten about them. God knows what he's doing. And he planned at this moment to see the gospel taken to Europe. That's the key point, that God is the one who's at work in mission. God is the one who's opening and closing doors. And that's really reassuring for us. It's reassuring when we can't see the way forward, when things seem too difficult, when we don't know what to do, when things don't go to plan. Josh and Helen have had an experience a bit like this. They wanted to go to Sudan. And that door was, a few years ago, firmly shut in their faces. And so since then, they've been planning to go to South Sudan. And that's something that we've been praying for them for and encouraging them in. And they've been here back in the UK trying to raise support to go to South Sudan. And yet that door too has been shut in their face. And yet the missionaries in Kenya, in Nairobi, are saying, come here, there is work here to be done. There's a South Sudanese community here. There is work that will suit exactly your gifts. And in responding to that, they've realized that in trying to raise support for South Sudan, they have support to go to Kenya. And that's really exciting, because it's clear that this is God at work. God is directing, God is closing doors, and God is opening doors. And we can get behind them. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten about Sudan. It doesn't mean that he's forgotten about South Sudan. It doesn't mean that Josh and Helen will never end up there. We don't know what God will do. Who knows what could happen in 60 years from now? Maybe the authorities in those countries will be complaining about how troublesome all these Christians are. If God can go from less than 10 Christians in Mongolia to 75,000 in 35 years, who knows what God will do in those countries? Who knows what role Josh and Helen might perform in that? But God is at work. God knows what he's doing. We can trust that. And we can get excited about it. God opens doors. But secondly, we see in this passage that God opens hearts. God opens hearts. So having had this call to go to Macedonia, that's what Paul and his team do. Verse 11, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, which is in Macedonia, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. And the reason they choose Philippi is because it's a leading city of the district of Macedonia.